Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another special episode brought to you by Yahoo Sports Canada. You guys already know the deal. Like, share, subscribe, leave a comment if it's positive. Yeah, the vibes aren't great with the team right now, but we still love positivity over here at Yahoo Sports Canada. My name is Iman, and I'm joined by Asad. Asad, how are you?
I'm doing well. Definitely doing better than Ben Taylor is this morning. So I'm ready to go. Let's talk Raptors, I guess, right?
Let's talk Raptors. Yeah, we'll save the Fred VanVleet comments for just a little bit after. Let's start off, because I mean, it's been a week of refereeing for the Raptors, has it not been? But let's start off with the Clippers game. The Raptors lose to Kawhi Leonard yet again. Kawhi Leonard playing 40 minutes. I don't think I've ever seen that. Not in regulation, at the very least. What are your thoughts on how the Raptors fared against the Clippers last night?
Yeah, so the Clippers clearly came in playing like a team and playing a rotation as if that they are very much desperate. They're a team that struggled since the trade deadline, since adding Russell Westbrook off the buyout market. They came into this game, I think, 1-5 or 1-6, and they really needed a win. And you can see that if you look at Kawhi Leonard's game logs for the last basically month, where he's been playing crazy minutes. And tonight he basically played his second highest minutes in regulation for the season at 40 minutes. And that's what you kind of saw. Now the Clippers, again, Clippers Raptors always is a tough matchup because there are similarly built teams, albeit a little bit different in the sense that they got a lot of big wings and they switch every matchup as well. So it's hard to create half court advantages in easy fashion. So it tends to be a tough matchup for the Raptors as it is.
Lawrence Frank just copied Masai's playbook, but basically was like, we have Kawhi and Paul George. We're just going to do it a little bit better.
Effectively. The Raptors were able to kind of press them in the first quarter, especially with the Clippers not having a true point guard. Again, they went past another deadline, another summer, and acquired no point guards to help address their needs. So they ended up turning the ball over a ton in that first quarter, and the Raptors were unable to really capitalize on that. So they built a lead, but nowhere near as big a lead as they probably should have, which is, again, just like, you know, the Raptors, they've been playing stretches of good basketball, stretches of really good defense, stretches of really good offense, but just not enough cohesiveness to kind of like maximize the opportunities they make for themselves. So similar to the Denver game, they just didn't capitalize enough on the part of the game where they created opportunities for themselves to give themselves the buffer against good teams when it comes down the stretch and the game gets a little bit tighter. The Clippers basically switched up. They let Kawhi be the main ball handler effectively for most of the second quarter onwards to give them kind of like a steady hand to not turn the ball over at the top of the key. The Raptors were still able to turn them over a fair bit, but again, Kawhi Leonard, great player, able to set them down. And then the Raptors on the other end, without that transition boost that they were getting, starting to struggle a little bit in the half court to create really any advantage outside of, like, I think a Fred Jakoperto pick and roll, which the Clippers started just sending more bodies to really snuff out. So a tough game to watch. I'm not usually a fan of watching Clipper games personally. It's tough to watch the hard matchups for the Raptors, but it's one of those games where I think I personally came in with the expectation the Raptors would probably lose that game. But given how the last two games have gone, and especially how the Raptors have looked in those games where it's like, oh, you very much have chances to win these games, but you're making a lot of unforced errors that are not giving you the margin of error needed on the road to win those games. Like, you're losing these games, not just because the other team's good, but because you're making some silly mistakes.
Yeah, no, I think you hit on everything there. I caught bits and pieces of the ESPN broadcast because, you know, when you get a nationally televised game, you gotta get some clips there. And To me, it was really fascinating because in the first quarter, Mark Jackson was being very complimentary of the Raptors' defense, which rightfully so. And you said a transition boost. And I was like, can we really call it that? Because they were just not able to capitalize off of the amount of turnovers that they were forcing, specifically in the first quarter. Second quarter, he made no mention of the Raptors' defense, rightfully so. Which is like when you're playing as tight as you are in the first quarter and you're forcing as many turnovers as you are, you can't just have moments where you're doing no look passes in transition and it through traffic, I should say, turning it into turnovers. You can't have moments where you're Gary Trent Jr. and it's like a 3-on-1 fast break and you're actually not looking for anybody and you get your shot blocked. You can't have moments like that because it limits your transition opportunities. And that's the only time that this Raptors team can really score against the Clippers defense. We saw it. The Clippers defense was just taking everything in the paint. Like the Raptors had no space at all down there. None of the shots that they were, like, they actually shot fairly well from outside. They were hitting their perimeter shots. They just couldn't get anything inside. And hey, if you can't get anything in transition and you can't get anything inside, you're probably not going to win. Even with like a 25 possession differential there, that's really massive. And that's how the Raptors win. And Mike Breen actually mentioned he was kind of flabbergasted by this stat, not recognizing that this is just Raptors basketball. And he was like, the Raptors are only shooting 37% from the floor, yet they lead in this game. It was early in the first half. And he's like, yet they lead in this game. Meanwhile, the Clippers are shooting 51%. I mean, if the Raptors let the Clippers get a shot off, it's probably going in. It's just when they get the stops that they're able to shut them down, which is essentially what the Raptors' defense has been. It's getting stops. That is it. That is the crux of it. And it's a possession battle. And guess what? You lose the possession battle, you lose the game. Here, they won the possession battle, except when you take free throws into account. That's where they really, 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 really got hurt. And I think we can transition into what everyone wants to hear about, what everybody is talking about today, which is the conversation that Fred VanVleet had, the statements that he made about Ben Taylor. I mean, you started off talking about Ben Taylor today. I feel like that's what everybody's doing. So for those of you guys who have been living under a rock and do not know what happened, Fred VanVleet had some really, really harsh and choice words for Ben Taylor after the game. And, you know, it was interesting because, like I said, this has kind of been a bad week for the Raptors in terms of refereeing. We all know what happened with the Scott Foster game, right? And after that game, Kirthika had a great tweet. Kirthika's been fantastic. Everyone give her a follow. But she had a great tweet where she said that, you know, Fred, after the Nuggets lost, said he's about to save his money and not actually make any comments on refereeing. And then last night, of course, he said he'll take the fine. As of right now, we don't know what the fine is, but I'm assuming it's going to be really, really big. I've been talking enough. I said, let me throw it to you. What are your thoughts on the comments that Fred VanVleet made last night?
Yeah, well, again, like the stat that Kirthika had was that Ben Taylor has given him has ref three games where he's like given five of the eight texts that Fred VanVleet's taken.
4 of 6.
Yeah. So four of the six games where Fred's gotten texts, I think, and then one of them was a double tech ejection. And I think Ben Taylor has directly called, I think, three of them, which is like, that's a significant percentage of your texts, right? That shows some friction in that relationship. I think, again, like I think it speaks kind of more to the bigger issue between the refs and the league. And this is something that, if we remember, coming out of the bubble, coming after the bubble season, there was a sit down with Monty McCutcheon, who's the head of the referees, and some of the more senior players, like Carmelo Anthony, spoke about this a year or two back, where there was an influx of new refs, a lot of experienced refs had retired, and suddenly those relationships weren't there, and there were a lot of texts being given out a year or two ago, and suddenly we're seeing this season again, we're seeing a lot of texts flying left and right. And when you have the NBA now in a situation where you have so much league parity, it's such a competitive game, to be given techs like Jordan Poole getting a tech for throwing the ball right back at the ref, or even earlier a couple of weeks ago, Gary Trent Jr. picked up the ball, threw it to the ref, and they called a delay a game or a tech on him. Like, well, what are you supposed to do in that situation where, like, if every single thing can be seen as a slight to the ref and they're going to call techs, that becomes very difficult to manage, right? Because the players have to also still remain in, like, the competitive focus of the game. In this case, Fred VanVleet got a tech in this game for saying basically that they're trying to fight through the bull. And he was saying that to his teammates which is a normal thing to say in the game, and it could be really about anything, but for the refs to overhear that, decide, oh, that's directly a slight towards me, I'm going to call it tech, that seems a little excessive. And to the point where even today, Marcus Smart was asked about his foul issues the last few games by Boston media, and he said, you guys heard what Fred VanVleet said? I'll leave it at that.
I did not know that. Wow.
And again, these are things that, like, I feel like it's been kind of bubbling up, and a lot of players feel this way. You saw Jason Tatum get ejected for a game for basically nothing, get massive texts as well. So it's something that's kind of been bubbling and bubbling, and it was an issue 2 years ago, and then it kind of calmed down, and now it's starting to become an issue again, which is coming to a head. And it's just about the league kind of finding a balance between their referees and their players, where they can have a where they can produce a product that doesn't feel too overplayed. And again, when it comes to playoff time, usually we never see these issues, but for some reason during the regular season, there'll just be this stretch of like a month or two where the players and the refs are just not getting along. And it feels like the last month or two has been very tough in this specific regard, where you just have
Chris Paul is like, what? You don't see these issues in the playoffs? Well, look at my career.
Chris Paul's deserved. We can leave it at that. But yeah, so I feel like that's kind of the extended conversation to have there. And for Fred VanVleet, like, that was, I don't think we've heard.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Anybody say anything that bad? I think the biggest fine we've seen, I forgot who was bringing up fines earlier, but it was like Paul George got like a big $35,000 fine like a year or two ago.
Masai got one earlier this year, if I'm
regarding,
not mistaken.
Regarding refs, I think the players' cap is like they can be fined as $50,000.
Yeah.
So I expect to see a big one for Fred coming, but it was cool to see Fred talk in the manner he talks, because he's very cool, calm, collected. I think Jace Keats on the No Dunks podcast called it icy.
It was icy. Here's the thing. I will say, in 2021, I think a large part of why those conversations were happening is because the referees also have a CBA. They also have a union. And that's when their CBA negotiations were happening. That was back in 2021. So I think that there was sort of more focus on things at that time. And this isn't new. I do agree with you that there was an influx of new referees. And so these conversations had to be had. Ben Taylor's not new. Scott Foster's not new. These are not new guys, and these are sort of issues that always persist. And I think it's important that players voice their frustrations, because this stuff matters. And you're right, like Fred VanVleet trying to get his teammates riled up to basically be like, you know what, we think that this whistle is unfair, but we got to play through it. That's what he's telling his guys. And I think that there is a power dynamic that exists between refs and players. And that to me is an abuse of power, to get mad at a leader of a team, basically the team captain, getting his guys to be like, you know what, we think that this is unfair, but we got to play through what we think is unfair.
And a final comment on that, like, yes, Fred was like very scathing towards the refs in particular in that, but he did say very
complimentary.
Like, hey, yes, you know, some refs do their job well. Yes. No problem. It's very specific issues. He made it very specific.
He also
made sure to say, he said, hey, we didn't lose because of the refs. We lost because we were overmatched. We were overplayed. That wasn't why we lost, but it is incredibly frustrating. He also did pinpoint that he realizes that in the first half, the team was getting very sidetracked and by the calls that were being made, which is something that, again, the team needs to be better at. Like, the Raptors are a young team. They do get frazzled by the whistle a fair bit. As great as Scottie Barnes is, there are a lot of times you can see where he kind of is spending a lot more time arguing with the ref than he is getting back into play early in the game. versus, you know, maybe in the fourth quarter when he just takes his anger out on the court. Which,
but like, to me, that's the biggest issue with it here, right? Because when you are the leader of a young team who, you know, gets caught up with fouls, does not run back on defense because they're complaining about a non-call the other way, the only way to get those guys to stop complaining at these refs, which no ref wants to be jawed at all game, right? We saw what happened when Scott Foster was jawed at all game. He ended up ejecting someone in the final seconds of a basketball game. So if refs don't want to be jawed at all game, then you have to let the leaders of the team to be like, you know what? You think that this is unfair, but we got to play through it. And if you're stopping the people who are trying to control their teammates, but you're also stopping the people who, you also are ejecting the people who are angry. Like, to me, the Fred VanVleet technical and the Scotty Barnes ejection are like opposite things. Like, you can't get mad at both of those things, right? Like, one of those you have to sort of be like, yeah, that's the proper way to handle it, right? If you're mad at players, I think personally neither one of them should have gotten a tech in that situation. That's how I feel personally about it. But like, the NBA needs to come up with this sort of standard thing. And also, I think everyone talks about it, you shouldn't have separate rules for the superstars of the league versus a sophomore player. That's not how any of this should operate. That's not how any of this should work. It gets unfortunate, but it's a conversation that needs to be had. So I'm glad that Fred VanVleet has decided to put his money where his mouth is and lead and take charge in terms of having that conversation. But my goodness, Ben Taylor better not officiate the Raptors play-in game. Not here for it. Okay, so finally, I want to focus in on the next game that the Raptors play, which will be against the Los Angeles Lakers on Friday night. This is going to be a big one. I mean, this is a big one for both of these teams. The Lakers obviously have hopes and dreams of making the playoffs. The Raptors have hopes and dreams of making the playoffs, and this has kind of been a really tough road stretch. The Lakers will be, I think, the least formidable team the Raptors have played on this stretch, so it should be one that you're looking at as hopefully a W. But what do you see looking at that Lakers game?
That's basically the game that you have to win on this trip. Again, looking at this stretch, it was like Denver, Clippers, Lakers, and then Denver again. So you're hoping, okay, you look at that Denver game, you very much have a chance there, you lose it at the end, right? Sure, there's altitude and those things, but you feel confident, like you played a good game against Denver. In a rematch, I would feel comfortable. I think the Raptors have a good shot of taking that game in a rematch. This Clippers game, always going to be a tough matchup. It's probably going to be a loss. You have to eat that. How do you get out of this four-game stretch 2-2? And you've got to win this Lakers game. They don't have LeBron James. D'Angelo Russell might be returning. But in any case, the Lakers have been a team that the Raptors have been able to beat consistently as long as they've been healthy. Pascal Siakam's had no issues really with the Lakers. The Lakers, again, they have Anthony Davis playing, you know, his best basketball season. Jared Vanderbilt's been great for them defensively. With him and Davis on the floor, they've been incredible defensively. But the Lakers are going to struggle on offense, same way the Raptors might struggle in the half court. So it is a team that, if they don't have D'Angelo Russell, again, you're playing a team that doesn't really have a real point guard, so you can turn them over a lot more. The Lakers also do lack large wing defenders. Like, their best guys are the guys they got at the deadline in Malik Beasley and Jared Vanderbilt. So you're looking at dudes that you can really get after. So I'm not worried about this matchup for the Raptors. I think they should be able to take it as long as they take this game seriously. Again, Anthony Davis can only guard one of Scottie Barnes and Pascal Siakam. So one of those two should be dominating in the middle of paint all night. We've seen Scottie Barnes put up basically one of his best games of his career against the Lakers last season when he dropped 31-17 or something along those lines. It's around the same time, right? So this is a game that Scottie Barnes can dominate. What I would like to see out of this is, if you're Scottie Barnes, how can you bring that energy that you bring in the fourth quarter where you are attacking the paint when you get the ball, when you are actually looking to go downhill and do that in the first half instead of going side to side, instead of trying to run point from 30 feet out. Which, again, like, one of the criticisms that people will make to basically as an excuse for Scottie is, oh, like, we try to run the ball through a Fred or Pascal. But when he's out there with the bench unit at the beginning of the second quarter, what he's usually either flanked with an OG or a Pascal, Scottie's bringing the ball up. Scottie's at 30 feet. It's his job to get the ball under the break line. It's his job.
I don't understand why he was flanked with Pascal. It makes sense to have OG out there just for spacing reasons. Him and Pascal out there just made no sense to me yesterday.
I still think that's fine. I think it's one of those things where it's like you want to have a veteran player there to kind of sort through possessions that break up. And maybe OG isn't like a second ball handler that you can have out there. So you have a second ball handler in Pascal to give you some room, especially with the Clippers switching scheme. But Scotty Barnes needs to be able to get to the paint a little bit better in earlier than the fourth quarter with his dribble. He needs to be attacking the basket with his dribble rather than looking left, right to try and make passes to either of the wings. Like, I can understand him trying to get other people going, but him trying to get other people going also means that he has to be aggressive, not for him to even score, but like him driving into the paint and drawing two defenders up so he can hit a dump off to Jakob Poeltl, or he can then kick out to a three. It's one of the reasons why the Raptors half-court offense in the first half is heavily reliant on Fred VanVleet, because he's almost the only ball handler who seems to be able to find a way to get into the paint and get some drive and kick going. Because Pascal Siakam's seeing double teams before he even crosses the break line, which usually leads to a pass out. And again, the only other ball handler they've had right now that is able to do anything has been Scotty Barnes, and he's been very timid in the first half. So I would like to see an aggressive Scotty Barnes in this Lakers game, because that is going to set the entire Raptors season is going to come down to where Scotty Barnes lies on any given game. If he plays to his talents and his incredible talents, then you're going to have a team that is suddenly looks incredible and unbeatable. When he plays kind of loose, aloof, and makes defensive mistakes, offensive mistakes, isn't playing as tight as he should be, that's where the Raptors suddenly kind of lose their gears, and the other teams tend to go on runs. It's been two games in a row where the end of the second quarter, Scotty's made a couple of key mistakes, and the other team has gone on a run to close that second half. So just a little bit more tight, like, obviously, he's 21 years old. He's young. You don't want to harp on it too much. But again, that's it. That's really it, right? It's like, hey, can you just be a little bit stronger and be a little bit further up the development curve? Which is fine. Like, these are all development reps, so you don't really get too mad about the mistakes made. But you're hoping that, hey, you made a mistake this last game. Play better the next game. Play better the next game. And you're hoping that that can kind of compound and become something to push through. Because, again,
that's something I'm betting on Scotty being able to do. We constantly see it, and he shows it with his fourth quarter dominance, right? Like, the ability to put whatever happened in the first three quarters aside and come out in the fourth just shows a level of resiliency. And I agree, Scotty, if you come out hard in the first quarter in the same way that you do in the fourth quarter, it completely changes the trajectory of what this team looks like moving forward and what this Raptors team can really be. Thank you so much, Asad, for joining me. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening. Thank you, Ben Taylor, for content. And everybody, bye.